This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, that video is now out. We've got it on the Montana Talks website. The Border Patrol, I don't know how I missed this one late last week. We told you about the story, of course, but the video was released. And so now I've got not just one video, but two videos on our Montana Talks website. You know, last week we told you about some of the crazy protesters targeting Border Patrol agents in Whitefish, death threats, protests, throwing plywood at Border Patrol vehicles, doxing agents, blocking traffic on Highway 93. That's what the left-wing Border Patrol protesters have been up to in Whitefish. And now we've got the video on our website, the U.S. Border Patrol releasing video footage of the violent protester in Whitefish throwing plywood at an agent's vehicle in the middle of Highway 93. The U.S. Border Patrol Spokane sector shared the video on their Facebook page along with this rundown, saying, quote, "At Whitefish Border Patrol Station, a protester chose to stand in front of an agent's vehicle, not by accident, but by intent. Her actions disrupted operations and put herself and our personnel at risk." The social media post added this: "Border Patrol agents operate with authority and resolve in the face of threats, chaos, or resistance. Anyone who impedes and or assaults a federal law enforcement officer will be arrested and charged with a federal crime." And then a great point made by the Border Patrol as they shared these videos on social media. They said this about these protesters: "They are not victims. They are the aggressors." And it's important that the Border Patrol made that point. Sad that the Border Patrol had to make that point, but of course you've got so many in the liberal media that make these violent protesters out to be the victims when they are the aggressors. They are the agitators. Here's audio from that video of the protester, making it clear that she was deliberately trying to obstruct the Border Patrol agents from doing their jobs. And then, of course, they called the police, and they had her arrested. There was kind of a little funny sound at the end of that one as well. They were basically, pointing out how stupid this was of this protester. Let's see what else. Yeah, the other video that they've got shows the large piece of plywood. You basically see, and it's in the middle of the dark. You see this vehicle driving down, I think, Highway 93, and all of a sudden you see this protester launch this large piece of plywood at the vehicle, and frankly, the protester's lucky they didn't get run over and flattened like a pancake right there on Highway 93 as a result of stepping in front of the vehicle. Here's what the Border Patrol said about that. "Her actions disrupted operations and put our agents at serious risk of injury. We strongly condemn these malicious acts of violence towards our amazing agents." Full video, go to MontanaTalks.com. And you can see that in the full story if you missed it last week. All right, lots to talk about here on this Monday morning. Of course, we got the phone lines open for you as well.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures stay around 80 in Bozeman to the mid-80s in the Billings area. Slight chance for a shower storm late in Bozeman. For tonight, otherwise looking at clear to partly cloudy skies, slight chance for a shower or storm in the Bozeman area. Low temperatures in the upper 40s in Bozeman to 57 in Billings. Then with sunshine on Tuesday, slight chance for a shower or storm in Bozeman. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Securing America.
An unusual meeting of military minds this week. The Pentagon is convening top U.S. military leaders from around the world. Multiple War Department officials confirming to Fox News that the leaders have been asked to fly to Virginia. The Pentagon also confirming the news with a spokesperson saying the Secretary of War will be addressing his senior military leaders. The order applies to those with a rank of Brigadier General or higher, or the Navy equivalent of their top enlisted advisors. Some are wondering if cuts are going to be made. War Department Secretary Secretary Pete Hegseth said in the past he'd like to cut 20% of senior generals and admirals, back in May calling the reduction part of the less generals, more GIs policy. There are currently 44 four-star general and flag officers across the military, per Secretary Hegseth. That's a ratio of one general per about 1,400 troops. During World War II, that ratio was 6,000 troops per general. Meetings of this scope are usually held on a secure video teleconference. Tom Graham, Fox News.
Hey, we got a big week coming up with Montana Talks, taking you all across the state. Monday, we're in studio taking your phone calls and more. Tuesday, live from the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association annual meeting in Great Falls. Wednesday, back in studio. Thursday, we're in Whitefish for the Montana Equipment Dealers. And then Friday, live from Northwest Parts and Equipment just south of Columbia Falls. Big week ahead, but we definitely want to sneak in some of your phone calls. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10, right here.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Trump authorizing full force of military to protect ICE from Antifa and other domestic terrorists. That's the big story at the dailywire.com right now. We'll get to that story here in just a second. But first, let's start with a caller. We've got Nancy and Roundup already with us here on the phone lines as we kick off the show this morning. Nancy, good morning. Great to hear from you. What's on your mind here on this Monday?
Yeah, good morning, Montana. Good morning, Aaron. And, I want to pick up on a conversation that I have with our Congressman, Ryan Zinke, on the construction of the border wall. But first, I have to mention the terrible shooting at the Mormon church in Grand Blanc, Michigan. There were less than a population of 8,000 in that beautiful, beautiful Michigan Midwestern town. My thoughts and condolences for the people of that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Michigan city. And, of course, the military is going to get blamed. They keep mentioning that Thomas Sanford is a Iraq veteran, just like the shooter in the bar in North Carolina, another Iraq veteran. So I don't want to hear that. These people, they're accountable for their own actions. But first, but I have to tell you that I asked Congressman Zinke the other day about the border wall construction, and he said that they have picked up on the first 600 miles that Joe Biden was supposed to build. That's the first under construction. And, of course, Rio Grande, they received some new fencing. It's really a high and reinforced fence. And you're not going to believe this, and maybe you will, but President Trump had to buy back all the building materials that he bought for the border wall that Joe Biden sold. So that's two times that we had to pay for this building material. But Congressman Zinke assured me that the wall will be built by the end of President Trump's term. So there's going to be complete, total border wall security. So that's what I wanted to share with everyone, you know, because you were talking about the Whitefish protesting and violence. So it's on the way. The only thing, like I said, we taxpayers got hit twice for that building material that Biden illegally sold.
Yeah, big surprise there, how much Biden has cost us as a country to try to rebuild. Also interesting how they're when they're rebuilding the wall, or they're even in parts where there already had wall existed, they're painting it a darker color so that it's even hotter in the summer if illegal aliens try to climb across the wall or something like that. Yeah, Nancy, great to hear from you. Great to hear a recap of your conversation with Congressman Zinke. Of course, as Montana's western congressman in the western district, he also sits on the northern border caucus, focusing in on our northern border as well. I wonder if you guys heard, I'm sure Nancy heard about this story. Did you hear about the illegal alien who was working as a school superintendent? This was in Iowa. You had an Iowa school superintendent arrested by ICE. Let me get to the story, and then you got to hear what Scott Jennings from CNN had to say about this story. All right, here we go. First, the scene setter here. An illegal alien working as a school superintendent in Iowa, arrested by ICE.
DHS's Ian Roberts, a criminal illegal alien from Guyana, was arrested in possession of a loaded weapon in a vehicle provided by Des Moines Public Schools after fleeing federal law enforcement on Friday. Folks want to know how he landed this job, considering his immigration status and the fact that he had a previous weapons charge. The school district has since placed Roberts on paid administrative leave. Des Moines Public Schools provided some context into how he got hired. The district says it retained a consulting firm to conduct a search for a superintendent, and the firm identified Dr. Roberts as a candidate, and a third-party comprehensive background check was conducted.
Let me add a little more context to how this illegal alien was hired to be the superintendent of the public schools in Des Moines, Iowa. Guess who the chair of the school board is? Jackie Norris, former chief of staff to Michelle Obama. Paul Morrow posted that a few days ago here. He said, here's the board chair, Jackie Norris, former chief of staff to Michelle Obama. Probably no relation to Chuck Norris. But anyway, Scott Jennings, you know, the lone common sense guy on CNN, he said this. He said, so you mean to tell me that Michelle Obama's chief of staff hired an illegal alien with a fake degree and a criminal record to be the head of the public schools in Des Moines, Iowa? Now, raise your hands out there if you're surprised at all. Okay, I don't see any hands raised. Of course, I'm on the radio, but I just know nobody's raising their hand. Nobody is surprised when they hear that angle to the story. And look at all the background checks, too, and all the, oh, legal alien, but cleared all these background checks. They should be throwing these agencies that do these background checks upside down right now. But it's also, you know, could be another reminder of just what we saw under the Biden tester regime. Well, they deliberately worked to hide this type of information from prospective employers. Remember, they sued one of Elon Musk's companies. I think it was SpaceX, because SpaceX wanted to hire all American citizens. And the Biden regime sued them, or at least threatened to sue them, and basically was attacking SpaceX for wanting to hire American citizens to fill their company. And so the Biden regime made it for illegal aliens to apply for jobs, and nobody would know what their background was. Absolutely despicable. But yeah, we talk about these attacks on our Border Patrol agents in Whitefish, raising questions, of course, about Antifa connections. Let's talk about Portland, what President Trump just authorized there.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Here's what happens if the government shuts down in the wee hours of Wednesday morning. The Trump administration could furlough millions of federal workers. That's because agencies lack direction from Congress on how to spend money. National parks and Smithsonian museums close, yet many other federal employees are deemed essential. That includes the military and those who work in national security and intelligence. Air traffic controllers remain on the job. However, those federal workers still heading to the office don't get paid until the shutdown ends. Congress meets and lawmakers never miss a paycheck. That's because the Constitution's 27th Amendment prohibits an immediate, quote, varying in compensation for members. At the Capitol, each lawmaker decides who on their staff is essential. Capitol tours are suspended. A walkout by some air traffic controllers at LaGuardia Airport in New York ended the record 35-day government shutdown in 2018-2019. And a violent high-speed chase and shooting involving the Capitol Police sobered up the sides, ending a 16-day shutdown in 2013. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good Monday morning. I'm Lane Nordlund. Last week in Kansas City, speaking at the Agriculture Outlook Forum, Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins says USDA is crafting a plan to rebuild America's shrinking beef herd and help revitalize cattle ranches that have lost more than 150,000 operations since 2017.
Like so many of the problems that you face, our cattle inventory, unfortunately, cannot be rebuilt overnight. That's why USDA is prioritizing, along with our partners in the states, our governors, our ag secretaries, et cetera, both short and long-term solutions that address the root of the shortage and deliver rapid relief. We are developing a robust plan to revitalize and diversify the U.S. beef industry alongside our great partners in that industry for producers, processors, and consumers. We will provide more details at a rollout in mid-October alongside my partner, Secretary Doug Burgum.
Rollins did address the false online post that USDA would be paying cow-calf producers to retain their heifers instead of selling them. She said those false online rumors being spread by some cattlemen are fake news.
But to be clear, and there's been a lot of speculation about this in the news in the last couple of days, we have no current plans to offer any payment to beef producers. We see how the government getting involved can completely distort the markets. And so currently there will be no plan. No plan is even under consideration to insert ourselves through payments into the beef cattle industry. But our plan will focus on opening up more working lands, expanding our risk mitigation tools, expanding those risk mitigation tools for our beef cattle industry, and hopefully inspiring the next generation of farmers who hold the future of this great nation in their hands.
That was the Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins. You're listening to the Western Ag Network. Feed like you mean it. Fall is a critical window for cattle nutrition, and ADM's Roughage Buster is built for this moment. Designed for cattle on mature forages, it delivers a consistent source of rumen-available protein powered by Biorit to fuel microbial activity for improved forage utilization. That means better body condition, more milk, and heavier calves, delivering added profit. When performance matters, Roughage Buster delivers. Learn more at adm.com/beef.
Pulse Growers Market Access starts with you. From the field to the elevator, it's critical to keep it clean. Follow pre-harvest intervals, use only registered products, and ensure equipment is free from treated seed or residues. Delivering a load with contaminants can lead to costly rejections and jeopardize markets for all of us. Quality isn't optional, it's our shared responsibility. A message from the Northern Pulse Growers Association, working together to protect our markets and your bottom line.
In Drought Monitor news, Ohio Congressman Dave Taylor has introduced the Improving Drought Monitoring Act, which would reauthorize USDA's improvements to the Drought Monitor Program and establish a Drought Monitor Interagency Working Group. Now, this group would focus on boosting the accuracy and consistency of drought data used nationwide. Taylor stressed the importance of reliable information for farmers and ranchers facing increasingly severe droughts. The legislation calls for a $5 million investment in drought monitoring through the year 2030, with improved coordination among federal agencies to strengthen drought response efforts for producers across the country. That's a look at our news here on the Western Ag Network. I'm Lane Nordlund. Have a great day, everyone.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we talk about the violent left-wing protesters that have been doxing and issuing death threats and now getting violent with their protests against the Border Patrol agents in Whitefish, Montana. But, of course, that pales in comparison to what is going on in Portland, which is exactly why they need to go after these far left activists, very aggressively here in Montana so that we don't turn into a Portland. Yeah, there's a report in the Daily Wire this morning. Of course, Fox News Radio has been covering it as well here. An ICE facility in Portland, Oregon has become a target of violent leftist protesters some of whom have now been charged with assault. There have been violent clashes with authorities, and federal agents have been injured. Moreover, earlier this month, protesters erected a guillotine outside the facility, which Secretary Noem called unhinged behavior. Trump said earlier last week that what's been going on in Portland is largely due to professional agitators and anarchists. And then, of course, this past week, you saw a man shot indiscriminately into an ICE facility in Dallas, basically killing one illegal immigrant and harming two others. ICE agents have increasingly become targets of left-wing attacks and doxing efforts. Assaults on agents have jumped 830% compared to a year ago. And so back to Portland, though, here, President Trump authorizing the full force of the military to protect ICE from Antifa and other domestic terrorists. This came out Saturday morning, President Trump saying that he is authorizing Secretary of War Pete Hegseth to provide all necessary troops to protect Portland and any U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement facilities under attack by far-left Antifa and other domestic terrorists. And it's interesting because I was reading Politico's playbook here earlier this morning, and you've got the far-left attorney general for Oregon complaining about President Trump bringing resources into the table to help protect these men and women who work, you know, as federal employees, federal law enforcement officers. And what did the AG say that reminded me of something? There's a pattern now. You're going to start to see this as well. Just watch for this pattern here. What did he say here? Okay. The attorney general for Oregon said, quote, "I think part of what we are seeing in America right now is a normalization about using the U.S. military in ways that we just haven't used them before, in ways that we believe to be unlawful." So, look, first off, the military has been used to help quell this type of domestic violence, domestic terrorism before. And in fact, the courts have already backed up President Trump doing something similar in California. But how he is talking about the normal... Anyway, let me tell you what the pattern... What the Attorney General for Oregon did there. See, what the left is doing is normalizing political violence in the streets of America, excusing political violence in the streets of America. But then when President Trump and others do the normal thing, which is to combat domestic terrorism, combat political violence on the streets of America, and throw resources at the problem so that we don't have political violence and rioting and other things like this on the streets of America, what do they say? Why is President Trump normalizing the use of our military? There was a, it was funny, one of my friends in Bozeman sent me a link to an article, and I hadn't even seen it, sorry, but I got a kick out of it. He sent me a link to an article, and it was a letter to the editor or whatever by this left-wing nut job in Bozeman who was complaining about this show. He was complaining about the radio station, and he was complaining about me. He was complaining about John Jackson. I think John got a nice little shout out in there as well. And anyway, the guy was saying, you know, here's all these people that are complaining about President Trump and his supporters being called fascists, but then they have no qualms whatsoever about branding folks on the left as radical leftist extremists. Okay, so again here, watch for the pattern here. Similar to what we saw from the Oregon Attorney General, this is what the left is doing. They are normalizing political violence in America. They are normalizing political violence on the streets of America. And and if you want to do the normal thing, which is bring out resources to combat that political violence, to combat that domestic terrorism, then they're like, oh, well, how dare you normalize this? when what they are normalizing is what is truly outrageous and shocking. And then similar pattern here. They're out there calling the brave men and women who work for ICE and our Border Patrol. They're out there calling them fascists. They're calling them names. They're throwing stuff at them. They're blocking traffic. Oh, but don't you dare call them radical left-wing extremists. They can call you names all day long, but don't you dare call a spade a spade. See, they want to silence you. They want to shut you down. They want to shut you up. That's what the pattern is here. They get to do all the outrageous things in you can possibly imagine. They get to cause all sorts of harm to this country. But don't you dare say anything about it, because you're not supposed to call a spade a spade. That's the pattern here. They want to normalize the craziest Adam Schiff you can possibly imagine. But then if you say anything about it, oh, you're wrong. They simply want to silence you. We will not be silenced.
It's Riverside Contracting is now hiring.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I got to throw one other thing out here real fast. This was pretty funny. You know, earlier I was talking about the Border Patrol protesters in Whitefish that got arrested, and there's now video out that we've got on our Montana Talks website showing these violent protesters throwing plywood at a Border Patrol vehicle, etc. But how's this for karma? This is from Fox News. An anti-ICE protester in Massachusetts forgot to put her car in park while yelling at agents arresting an illegal alien, and her vehicle rolled into the lake. It's just hilarious. You got to see this photograph. She's sitting there looking down at her phone with her hand on her hip. And you just see her car sitting in the lake behind her. Absolutely hysterical. How is that for karma? You can see that photo. Go to Facebook.com/Flint Report. Mike in Big Timber, great to hear from you. What's going on this morning?
Thanks for the giggle, Aaron. I needed that.
Well, you got to see the photo. It's even better. It's even better.
I wish I had a computer to do it, but I just don't. I'm still old school here.
You're better off without it.
That's for sure. The thing I wanted to mention first is thank you for having the rabbi on the other day on your show. He pointed out something very. Very important is how the anti-Semitism is, you know, rife in this country. And he mentioned a couple of names like Carlson and some others. And Mark Levin has a name for Carlson. He's not too happy with that man. But the point I wanted to make is this meeting that they're having to discuss the ceasefire in Israel. If you want to know the exact points that are going to be discussed, Mark Levin mentioned it on his show, I think on Friday, and it's really something they should reject outright. There's 15 items that he mentioned, and I don't, like I said, I don't have a computer to call it up, but you can access his shows. So if you want to know the specifics of really what's going to take place, one of the most outrageous is the release of hostages. By Hamas will result in the release of a couple of thousand, you know, violent criminals in Israel that are, you know, Palestinian or other than Jewish. It's the exchange. Remember the last time they had that exchange?
Oh, yeah.
What, 10? And a couple of hundred or a thousand or so of their their prisoners Israel had to release. Another one is Saudi Arabia is going to be sort of an overseer. The Palestinian Authority will still have control. It's really a bad thing, and I hope it's rejected. And I know Mark Levin was totally outraged by all the points.
Yeah, it's time to play hardball once and for all with these Hamas terrorists and say release the hostages or else. But I'm so disgusted with these people who are trying to reward these terrorists for this vicious terrorist attack on October 7th. I mean, these people, even some on the right, are acting like October 7th never even happened. But was so despicable was last week and so many of these countries bowing down and bending at the knee of these Islamic radicals and supporting a Palestinian state. Why would you do that right now? Why would you reward them, especially after what they did with the October 7th terrorist attacks, which if you put it on a per capita basis is, you know, in terms of the lives lost is far more. I mean, it would have been like multiple 9/11s if it happened in America, if you put it on a per capita basis.
And the thing is, too, this country called Qatar or whatever, they're a major player against Israel, although they're acting like they're big negotiators. Look what they did when Obama tried to go after KSM, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Well, I thought Netanyahu made a great point. I heard Prime Minister Benjamin Bibi Netanyahu was on Fox News over the weekend, and he made a great point. He said, look, he said, there's people who are saying, well, why did you launch these attacks against the Hamas leaders in Qatar? He says, well, you know what? Hey, it's no different than when the United States took out Osama bin Laden in Pakistan. You guys work with Pakistan. You know, you basically, partner with them on a lot of things. But were you just going to sit back and allow, Osama bin Laden to hide out in Pakistan? No, you didn't. Same thing after our October 7th terrorist attacks, we're going to go after the people responsible for it. And that's exactly what they did. I thought that was a great point he made.
Right. And also, when Obama went after Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and sent those people after him, Qatar warned him, and he escaped. He got away. And this time, I don't know how many of those Hamas leaders that they harbored in Doha that actually felt the effects and, the wrath of Israel. They may have also escaped because Qatar probably warned them about it. They're not our ally. And the more these news reports call them our ally, including Fox, they're no ally of ours. I'm sorry. They're no ally of Israel, that's for sure. Look at the kind of negotiations they're doing.
Well, I thought it was really interesting. We had a phone call from a young man, Connor, in Bozeman, and it was a good phone call from him. He raised some good questions, but I liked the rabbi's response because, one of the things Connor said was, well, you hear people say that AIPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, has too much influence in Washington, D.C., and the rabbi just gave the numbers. He's like, oh, really? He's like, well, Qatar's spending more money than Israel is in Washington, D.C. There was like six or seven different countries, not to mention China, the biggest one by far. Right, that practically owns K Street, from everything that Peter Schweitzer has reported. But I just think, and by the way, and then after that conversation, if Connor's listening right now, the rabbi said he would love to sit down and have coffee with Connor. So Connor, shoot us a message, and we'd love to link you up. But I think it's important that young people don't fall. Look, I get it. You're on college campuses. You've got these liberal professors, and the young leftists are waving their little Palestinian, Hamas propaganda. But guys, don't let the terrorists win. Don't hand the terrorists a victory. I mean, it is very dangerous. I get it. Look, everybody wants these wars to be over. I get it. But trust President Trump. President Trump is working to end these wars. He's already ended seven of them. He's working on finishing this one. He's working on finishing the Russia-Ukraine war. But, don't buy into the leftist propaganda that you hear on these college campuses.
Right, and he's trying to end the terrorist wars in this country, too, by sending the military to Portland and other cities that defy ICE and the job that they're doing. So,
great point.
I'm all for that.
Great point.
I'm all for that.
Hey, by the way, did you see what Democrat Senator John Fetterman had to say, not only about a potential government shutdown, but also about Israel and the whole Palestinian state thing, too? Man, that guy, he's like the only Democrat making sense back in Washington now.
Yes, sir. He's a very sensible man. And as far as I'm the same way with the Joker. Shut it down. Non-essential personnel, what are you doing there in the first place if you're non-essential? And somebody complained about, you know, they're going to have a, you know, they're going to be furloughed or whatever, and, you know, a couple of weeks, and they're not going to get paid. They get paid. They actually get paid when they come back to work for being furloughed on a non-essential, you know, on a government shutdown. It's ridiculous.
It can still cause some heartache amongst those, you know, military spouses in particular. They got to pay the bills, but yeah, oftentimes they do still end up getting paid at the end of the day anyway. I think every time, but Fetterman's saying, look, the Democrats should not be shutting down the government, and that's exactly what this is. This would be the Schumer shutdown. But here's what Fetterman, he was on with Maria Bartiromo Sunday morning, and I was listening to it on my drive back from the Montana Pro Rodeo Hall and Wall of Fame banquet, and he had several great things that he shared.
Hold on.
Sorry, I forget that my calls are on the same computer as my audio is, so sorry. It's just one of the hiccups with my new system here. So I want to play this clip for our listeners here. Sorry about that, Mike.
Speaking at the United Nations on Friday, Netanyahu told the General Assembly Hamas should not be rewarded for their terrorist attack that killed 1,200 people in Israel.
What you're doing is giving the ultimate reward to intolerant fanatics who perpetrated and supported the October 7th massacre. Giving the Palestinians a state 1 mile from Jerusalem after October 7th is like giving Al-Qaeda a state 1 mile from New York City after September 11th. This is sheer madness. It's insane, and we won't do it.
Joining me now in the Sunday Morning Futures exclusive is Senator John Fetterman. Senator, it's great to have you this morning. Thank you so much for being here. Do you think there's a deal here? What is your reaction to all that has played out?
I mean, I've read the 21 points, and now overall, I've been very pleased the way the president has backed Israel. I mean, as I do.
All right. I got to hold it right there since I was a little late getting that clip playing for you. So more comments from Senator Fetterman right after this, plus phone lines are open for you.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
This is a tipping point for our country. James Comey, only the tip of the iceberg. This conspiracy is grander, bigger, it's deep, it's profound. And we have got to restore the Department of Justice, the FBI, to its former greatness, our intelligence community to their former greatness. And for those people, oh, this is terrible. They were all complicit and silent when all of this corruption was going on. And frankly, I hold them accountable for not being honest brokers. They're just not. James Comey baited Donald Trump. Unbelievable. We'll see what happens.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
According to a 2022 FBI statistic, less than 0.01% of all altercations require a lethal response. Now, think about that. We all have a safety plan. If you don't, you need one that includes firearms. That's only necessary less than 1% of the time. So what is your new plan for 99.99% of the time? Well, you can start with the Byrna Launcher, BYRNA. It's the less lethal launcher that can de-escalate any situation for 99% of any altercations. Now, the new Byrna Compact Launcher is the smallest, less lethal option to date. It's concealable anywhere. It fires powerful kinetic rounds, tear gas, pepper spray. It also can stop an attacker for up to 40 minutes. No background checks, legal in all 50 states. It ships straight to your door. Byrna, because your first line of defense should always be less lethal. Just go to BYRNA.com today and find the right launcher for you and your family to be safe. That's BYRNA.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures stay around 80 in Bozeman to the mid-80s in the Billings area. Slight chance for a shower storm late in Bozeman. For tonight, otherwise looking at clear to partly cloudy skies, slight chance for a shower storm in the Bozeman area. Low temperatures in the upper 40s in Bozeman to 57 in Billings. That was sunshine on Tuesday, slight chance for a shower storm in Bozeman. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
how influencers with large followings targeted Montanans. The nutty professor who celebrated a political terrorist assassination on American soil is not a Montanan. She's not even American. So get her out of here. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. That was my rant in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. I think it came up again in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Either way, with the Montana Talks app, you can get all 4 hours of the show plus our online content, too.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I tell you what, this left-wing law firm in Helena, Upper Seven Law, they are just fleecing people. It's like, what is Abby Cook, the disgraced, now facing federal charges, treasurer for the Montana Democrat Party, is she now somehow a part of Upper Seven Law? Because basically, just like she ripped off her Democrat clients and basically stole money from the campaign she was the treasurer for. This Upper Seven Law is just fleecing their clients here, fleecing their fellow liberals. Oh, hey, join this school funding lawsuit. Yeah, let's get the courts to say that the state's current funding plan for public schools is unconstitutional. And then the legislature and the governor can say, okay, well, thanks for your opinion. And then just do whatever they're going to do anyway with regard to funding. I mean, what a waste of time. What a waste of money. And then it's kind of interesting because Republican legislator Dave Beatty out of Hamilton told the liberal Montana Free Press that, well, hey, basically by pushing this lawsuit, they're going to undermine whatever efforts we're doing right now to try to build a consensus when it comes to school funding. So basically you've got this far left law firm, Upper Seven Law, just raking in the money, trying to push a lawsuit so they can make money off of it. And then all they're going to do is undermine support for public school funding. Anyway, kind of interesting. Reading the Montana news here, that's one that just caught my eye here. All right, here we go. Back to Democrat Senator John Fetterman. Crazy that he is the only Democrat in the United States Senate, maybe even on all of Capitol Hill, truly standing up for the common sense position here when it comes to Israel.
I think I was the only Democrat that supported the Iranian nuclear facilities. And that's why I'm always willing to stand with the democratically elected leader of Israel. And I do think it's astonishing. You know, you have our allies are going to recognize Palestine when you have human beings held underground, tortured and starved going on 2 years. And that is, and absolutely it's a reward for Hamas. That's going to be their narrative. They're going to claim that's why we did 10-7, that birthed our nation, and that you can't ever give that to them. And I strongly reject any idea, especially now to talk about that, when you have human beings. I mean, they are normalizing keeping human beings underground for 2 years and forcing them to dug their own graves. And now it's like, hey, let's give them a nation.
Yeah, he talked about being the only Democrat back in D.C. to stand up in support of the move President Trump made, of course, after incredible support from Israel. Hammering the air defenses in the terrorist regime in Tehran first that allowed us to be able to go in and take out their Iranian nuclear sites. But yeah, the only Democrat to actually stand up on that point. Let me see. Here's also what Democrat Senator John Fetterman had to say about a potential government shutdown. And basically, he's laying it at the feet of his own Senate Democrat leadership.
Where are you on this issue? And do you expect a government shutdown Tuesday night?
Where I'm at, where I've always been, I will always remain on, is it is always, always wrong to shut our government down. That is a core responsibility. I'm always going to vote against those things. And if it's the Republican side or now it's our side, I'm going to condemn it as well, too, especially with the kinds of chaos that we are facing after Kirk. And now there's a Cat 5 storm that might hit our nation, too. Now, and you're willing to threaten us down. I was the only Democrat voting against that. And now that CR was the same CR from the Biden administration as well, too.
Right.
For me, I'm a big believer of if you want to change the policies, win elections. And that's really the way democracy works. And I didn't vote for the big, beautiful bill. And I do think healthcare, you know, could be a solution. But I don't think shutting our government down is the wrong thing. And that's why I think it's the wrong time, certainly at this point.
All right, there you go. Democrat Senator John Fetterman speaking out against the Schumer shutdown. Back to business here in just a few minutes.
But people won't give you the real talk on drugs. But it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals help fuel my love for acting. When people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.